This is Will.
This is Alex.
Welcome back to another episode of They Mostly Come At It.
That's right, everyone. We're back.
We are.
Hope everyone had a good holiday if you celebrate. If not, I hope you had a good weekend, all that good stuff. You know the drill. Go to your podcast sites, your Spotify's, your Apple Music, all that good stuff.
Your social medias.
YouTube's our main source, so if you want to get all the good content, all the episodes that you can possibly watch on there, because Spotify caps it at a certain time.
Including our upcoming live stream.
Yes.
On April 21st.
April 21st. Look forward to it. So not this coming weekend, but the weekend after. We're going to be doing 6 hours or how much we can stand of...
I am telling myself we are sticking to 6 hours.
We are going to do our best attempt at 6 hours.
For you guys...
It will be probably 6 hours. We will be playing shitty movies and just... shitty movies. Wow. We will be playing shitty games.
Thank you.
And hanging out with all you. So if you want to come hang out, ask us questions, do all that fun jazz, come hang out. Come, it's a chill vibe, you know?
It's casual.
We just chill, play bad fuck. Play bad
Strike two.
Games. Jesus. That does not bode well for the rest of the episode, does it?
You got one more strike, Will.
I know.
I don't know what happens then, but something.
I don't know. Who knows? Maybe I'll just fucking, like, die.
We end the podcast.
Fucking Cobra bursts through the fucking door and just, like, says you have the right to remain silent and lights me on fire.
I was going to say, you're a lousy podcaster. I don't like lousy podcasters.
I would really appreciate if you all went to Spotify and rated us, because...
Or wherever.
I don't know why, but right now we have a 2.7 on Spotify or something.
Are you thinking of Apple? Are you thinking of Apple?
No, on Spotify. Okay. I checked it today. We only have a 2.7. There's only 3 ratings.
So many.
So if you could go boost that would make us feel better too.
Or not.
If you want to. You don't have to.
It's a free country.
You know, you do you, but it would really help out the podcast if you like
it.
We would appreciate it because we appreciate you. But even if you don't, we still appreciate you listening. So without further ado, I think that's all the business. Do you have
anything else? That's it.
That's the business. Let's get into motherfucking Cobra.
You saw it on the socials.
It was there.
And, you know, if you know anything about 86, you probably predicted it. We love our action movies. We love our insanity. It is Cobra.
I even posted, if you guys follow us on Instagram or Facebook,
yes,
on our stories, little, lore here. Alex got me the Scream Factory Collector's Edition of this a couple years back.
Two, three years ago, yeah.
For the holidays, and I fucking love
this
movie.
And here
it is. It is incredible. It's so good. And if you have a chance, go check out the Scream Factory, because there's a lot of, really cool, features on it.
And it looks fantastic.
And it looks really good. It looks the best it can. It's a Blu-ray rip, so it's not 4K, but, you know. Also, I just really quickly, before we get too far into it, I do want them to release the director's cut.
Well, the
unedited,
uncut footage. Yeah.
Because this movie is supposed to be way more violent than it is, and it's already pretty violent.
Yep.
So
maybe one day in the future.
They almost got an X rating, if you don't know. If you've seen the movie, all the times they kill the innocent people, like when the Night Stalker's
in the first half,
people,
yeah.
Those scenes were extended, and they actually showed them killing the women. They had to be cut because they were going to get an X rating from the ratings board. Apparently, that's the story. They were going to get a rating, and they also I've heard the studio wanted it was almost a 2-hour cut, and they had to get it to 87 minutes because the studio wanted it to be a blockbuster.
Which I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, rough or what do you call it? Work prints are usually significantly longer.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff left on the cutting room floor, obviously. Studios always walk in, and when you're producing the movie and, like, you know, editing it, you leave a lot of stuff out of the movie.
There's lots of stuff
that doesn't need to be there.
Yeah, it's considered superfluous.
And listen, this movie still is incredible without those
cuts. Because as it stands, this is an hour and 27 minutes that goes by so quickly.
Oh.
There's no fat.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And obviously, we love it.
I mean, yes. I mean,
because I am trash.
It is getting more and more love, though.
Yes. I mean,
there were a lot of haters.
It has a Scream Factory collector's edition.
There are a lot of haters of this movie, but there's also a lot of lovers of this movie. So we appreciate both. We'll get into why we love it.
Yes.
I can kind of understand a little bit of, well, I don't know. I don't know how you really hate this movie, to be honest.
I get
maybe you don't want to watch it, but like the hate, I don't really get.
I am on the wavelength, so to speak.
Yeah. Just so you know, I mean, we obviously will not be ripping this to shreds. We love it. So if you're expecting that, you know, you can go. We have tons of reviews where we rip movies to shreds. Go listen to those if you really want to. I hope you guys also enjoyed Night of the Lepus, whoever listened to that on Easter, with our fucking incredibly bad audio. And
it was an early episode.
Oh my, it's 22. Yes, yeah. It was really early in the podcast. But anyway, it's going to be a rambler, but we'll kind of go over the basic plot if you haven't seen Cobra. I don't know why you're listening to this if you haven't seen Cobra.
You should watch this.
You should go watch Cobra. So, Sylvester Stallone plays Cobretti.
Marion Cobretti.
Marion Cobretti.
And he is awesome.
And he is like a Dirty Harry, if he was even dirtier, detective, you know, no rules apply. He has his own moral compass. He's judge, jury, and executioner. He doesn't give a shit.
He'll do what he has to do.
Yeah, he'll do what he has to do to take down the bad guys. Like, he is a good guy, so obviously he still, like, kills the bad people.
Yes.
But it's very questionable how he does it.
He will kill all of them.
Yeah.
If you've seen Dirty Harry, you know.
Exactly. Like you said, it's Dirty Harry on cocaine.
Yes, it is. This is literally, there's two actors in this from Dirty Harry. This is literally Stallone's absolutely stylized to all hell version of Dirty Harry.
And it's incredible. I love it.
It's exactly what I needed.
So it's basically, it's a really basic plot, really, just to kind of get things going. It's a guy called the Night Stalker. He has, like, a cult.
There's, like, a big, like, crazy, like, almost, like,
like a two-axe cult.
Eugenicist cult?
Well, yeah, it's, like, the New World Order kind
of
thing.
They're going to kill the weak.
Right. They just want strong-willed
people.
Well, because you get a bunch of, like,
strong men.
Schlubby businessmen. And,
yeah.
And punks and shit, like, banging axes together.
To, like, you know, show you that this could be anybody. It could be anybody. It could be your neighbor, your accountant, even a cop.
Yeah, exactly. And they have, like, people everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's mainly about the Night Stalker. He goes around.
Night Slasher.
Night Slasher, sorry.
Night Stalker was an actual, I'm pretty sure they did this intentionally, but Night Stalker was an actual, like, if you're into true crime.
Right, yeah.
An actual serial killer.
That's why I keep saying it.
And I'm pretty sure they based him off of that.
So it's a guy with a really cool knife, and he goes around and he preys on women, mostly.
Mostly women.
He'll kill anyone in his path, honestly, but, like, it's mostly women. And he, like, hunts them down. He has, like, a database, and he finds them and hunts them down. We'll get into why he has the database and everything. Just because he has someone on the inside with the cops. Hunts them down, kills them, and then, you know, he's trying to kill this one woman.
He does kill her. Well, he kills one woman, and then our actual main woman, she sees him.
Right, yeah, so she basically, the basic plot is she sees him, but she gets away, and so the whole movie he's trying to kill her,
so,
but being protected by Cobra.
That's the movie.
So that's the movie. So Cobra becomes basically the bodyguard for this woman, and if you've seen Red Sonja, it's the same woman that plays Red Sonja.
If you've also seen Beverly Hills Cop 2, it's the same woman as that, because there's a scene in that where Eddie Murphy's standing next to her, and they make a joke about how she's like 6'5", and Eddie Murphy like has to stand on his tiptoes in the scene,
mm-hmm.
and then she walks away, and he's like, "God damn, that's a big bitch." But there's a lot of like recognizable actors in this, but that's the plot, and that is. Because if you notice in the opening credits, it says this is based on a novel. The meat and potatoes of the novel is that bodyguard stuff.
That's like the condensed version. Well, the book is like a condensed version of the movie.
But Stallone took that and kind of expanded the whole like cult and cop stuff.
Yeah, because he has a writing credit on this.
He wrote this, yes.
Yeah.
He's the sole screenwriting credit.
Yes.
Which there's also theories insane. That Stallone actually directed this.
Well, and there's also theories that it was plagued with like production issues and infighting, and Stallone was like had too big of an ego from him being, you know, hot off the press
Rambo and everything.
Like, you know, his more successful movies. So he had like this huge ego. It said that we won't get too much into it, but another thing I found interesting is apparently the extras weren't allowed to interact with Stallone at all.
Yeah,
like they could just see him, but
he's got to be in the zone.
Yeah, he couldn't do anything. He was method acting as Cobra.
Yeah. Okay. No, this is
like a don't give a shit detective.
Listen, this is 100%. There, we watched a lot of movies on this podcast that are very clear, like. Almost like vanity projects, and a lot of times they're bad, like Liu Fong, because Liu Fong is a fucking fool. But you know, some people can pull it off.
Don't you besmirch his name. I know.
But some people,
Liu Fong is incredible. So incredible they can't put him on the cover of his.
They can't put him on the cover of his own movie. Not like this movie where it's literally him front and center. But this, I see that, and for me, it only adds.
I was just going to say, yes, it is absolutely 100% a vanity project.
I mean,
you tell that.
Because another thing, I don't know if you saw it, because this is something I know beforehand, is this was originally Stallone's take. When they were making Beverly Hills Cop, he was considered, and this was his, what he wanted them to do. This was his version of that.
Can you imagine?
But they wanted something lighter and more comedic.
Yeah.
And so he said, okay, I'll make my own movie. Fuck you. And I'm glad.
Well, what I was going to say is it's a vanity project, yes, and Stallone had a huge ego, and I'm sure he was not the nicest person to work with on this.
And maybe he did direct it, because guess what? Around this time, if you've seen Rocky IV, you know Stallone loves his montages.
But I will be honest.
This is fantastic.
It works for me. The entire movie works. I don't care if it's a vanity project.
No, this.
I don't care if he was an asshole. It looks, the movie, it runs at a breakneck speed. It does not slow down
for 1 second. It is unspeakably cool.
The action sequences are so fucking awesome. And the death count is there. The
look.
You get a badass fucking hero that has his own like unique style and wears these big fucking aviators
the entire time. It's so awesome. I mean, look, you know.
It has all the recipes of a great like action movie, and it pulls it off, and it just has like great stunts, great action, great car chase sequences. You know, just it has everything you need in an action movie right here, right in your face. Just no holds barred, just adrenaline.
And it looks beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we watched the Blu-ray version, but even if you watch this like a crappy version, you could still enjoy it.
No, it's this movie. I remember I saw long ago some review or something said that this had this looked like an anime.
It really does.
And I totally get that because
this could be an adaptation of an anime.
There's so much, like, it's like every frame of this is bathed in lighting.
Well, because I mean, like, if you think about it, you even get like the basically no words spoken, like,
anime protagonist.
You know, the main character protagonist that's all cool.
It's that badass.
Has the sunglasses and
so yeah,
is the silent type and mm-hmm. is just badass just by walking in a room yep. kind of thing.
You take one look at them and you're like, yes, okay.
Yes, like, you know exactly who they are.
Yeah.
You could tell that from the very beginning when that guy
shows up
rampaging through the grocery store and they're like trying to like negotiate terms with this fucking guy as he's doing like a hostage situation.
And he kills somebody
and
too.
And the commander's like, calling the Cobra. It's fucking great. I just love how like you immediately know his reputation.
Mm-hmm.
He like fixes things, but he leaves kind of a mess behind
yeah.
when he does fix things.
It's like, shit's desperate. We need the Cobra.
And it's like, people are dying. You know, desperate times call for desperate measures. We know he just takes the law into his own hands, but fuck it, call him the Cobra.
But he'll save people.
And he does. And that like first scene, there's something to be said about a scene in these like 80s and 90s movies where some guy just rampages through like a fucking grocery store and just blows up all these fucking like products and there's just
shopping carts,
cereal going
Christmas
everywhere,
trees,
like cheese curls yeah. like fucking flying all over the place.
Well, I love when the scene is happening because he just like they like the setup is so crazy because he like goes here and he parks in the handicap spot. He's not handicapped, but he parks there because he's a fucking psycho asshole. And then he walks in and is like shoving people. And then when he starts like shooting up the place, they keep intercutting with the fucking like axe gang.
You know what I appreciate with this? Like, because it's all connected to the gang, right?
Yeah. But
there's no rhyme or reason. They're just there to cause
chaos. Yeah.
That's all they want. Mm-hmm. That's a perfect setup because you don't have to have a reason for him like going into the grocery store and shooting a bunch yeah. of people, right? He just wants to cause chaos. That's their whole thing, is to disrupt society.
Yeah.
So it's like the perfect setup for a villain because they're uncontrollable and you have no idea what the fuck they're going to do next.
But bonus, you also have zero sympathy for them. You,
right. Well, they're all gigantic
you want
assholes
them to get
and they
blown
don't
away.
Fucking care about human life.
Yeah.
They fucking have no moral guidelines
yeah.
whatsoever. Their sole goal is just to hurt people. And you just want to see every single one of them fucking die. Mm-hmm. And you pretty much, for the most part, do. So, yeah, so, like, I also love the introduction, because when Cobra shows up, right, goes into the grocery store, like, next to, like, the product placement Pepsi, gets blasted a little bit, but then, like, is, like, thinking about things, and while he's doing that, he grabs a Coors.
Drinks it, and then throws it.
Yeah.
Like, bait.
It just... Just little things like that where he, like, drinks the beer before he throws it mm-hmm. and how he does, like, the laser pointer. He
calls him out for being a lousy shot.
Well, yeah, he, like, taunts people.
Gets on the intercom. He's like, you're a lousy shot. I don't like lousy shots.
Because he's a badass, you know?
Yeah.
You don't need no rules if
yeah.
you're Cobra, okay?
Exactly.
You can do whatever the fuck you want.
Exactly.
But, I don't know. There's so many like good scenes. Like, well, I guess obviously, like we said, it's like going to be a rambler. But like, that's one of my favorite scenes. Is just the introduction because you get an idea of like his reputation. You get like how he handles these. Kind
oh, it
of
sets up everything.
And I mean, obviously, it sets up everything because that's what it's supposed to do. But it sets it up in such a good way
with minimal dialogue.
Where you know exactly what the fuck you're in store for.
Yeah, with minimal dialogue.
Because, I mean, like, right after this is where he, like, goes and park, like, rams the other car to park his car. So he, like, but then doesn't kill them because they're not doing anything
they're
morally wrong.
It's fine.
Yeah.
And it's funny because they become, like, kind of friendly later. Which is hilarious. But the other thing is, like, you know, during that grocery store scene, it's like he, you know, he kills the fucking guy. And then there's like the just the shot of him like there's like the woman cowering in fear and just the shot of him like coming up to her and like, you know, he gives her his hand and it's like you don't need dialogue, you just need to know like he came there, he saved him.
Yeah, like the only dialogue you get from Cobra, from Stallone, is him taunting the guy. Well, and also you'll notice, and this is a running thing in the entire movie, he has a matchstick in his
mouth. If you've ever seen the movie Drive,
yes,
which I mean, I would hope you have, with Ryan Gosling.
Unfortunately, it's too good of a movie to be on our podcast ever,
but
it is incredible.
When that movie came out, one of the things I remember hearing right away was that Ryan Gosling and the director of that movie bonded over their love of Cobra. Ryan Gosling in that movie also carries a matchstick in his mouth.
Well, and I think it's...
Even the look of it.
I think it's a toothpick, but I think in the beginning scene he does have a matchstick. And it's like literally a direct nod to this movie.
And I would argue even visually, Drive is very similar looking to this thing.
Oh, you can tell like they were huge fans of this movie. So if you like Drive, you'd probably like Cobra.
You should check this out.
There's also like a bunch of setup scenes where I love like the weird, like you just get a weird idea of like who Cobra is in his like alone time.
Are you talking about the pizza?
Well, yeah, because he's like
fantastic.
It's weird. I keep every time I watch this movie, I try and understand who the fuck Cobra is because he's always telling people how to eat and how to eat healthy, but then he like portion controls and then he eats an apple and calls it health food and like
it's there's just, so many little it's touches. Just,
like,
this
weird like personality trait where he's like kind of healthy but kind of not. I don't
know because so there's a lot of people mention this moment, but yeah, when he comes home after he shoves the fucking car of punks out of the way and tells the guy to clean up his act
while ripping his shirt,
he goes to his home and you know he has all these like police files and everything, but there's just a box of pizza and there's a single slice of pizza in there, and he takes the pizza slice. And he takes some scissors and he just slices off like the end of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, this also is a obviously a setup scene because they're also on the news talking about the night, you know,
the night slasher.
I was about to say stalker again.
That there's no rhyme or reason to who he kills.
Right, they're just killing people at random, and
that you know he'll climb through people's windows, he'll kill them on the street.
And while he's doing that, he has an egg carton, but for an empty egg carton. Well, it's not empty. It has a gun cleaning solution. Yeah,
so he can clean his pistol that has a cobra engraved on it.
Yeah, of course.
Because he's Cobra. That's how they start the movie.
Little touches.
The first thing you see in the opening credits, when he's spouting off crime statistics at you, he shoots the audience in the face. Is you see the pistol with the cobra on it, which by the way, when I first watched this movie, that's how I knew I was like this is gonna be great. Is that they open this fucking thing with him saying like crime statistics and then shooting at the camera,
yeah,
and the pistol flies at the camera and then Cobra comes on the screen.
Oh, it's great!
And I was like, this is so preposterous that it's made for me.
Well, also the setup of the main woman in this movie,
Ingrid.
Yeah.
The montage?
They literally set her up in a montage.
No, this is
Well, it's just bold.
It's
like
so preposterous.
You introduce a character in a montage. That is wild.
Technically, they introduced her before.
Did they?
Because she witnesses. The guy.
Oh, you're right, because she's
driving. But she's on the way.
That's right. She's on the way to the photo shoot. On the way to the montage.
With the robots.
Yes.
And
because you're right. She sees like three weird dudes like on an underpass as she's going to this photo shoot.
And our main night slasher guy like stares at her. And, you know, she's kind of creeped out and drives away. And then one of them says, like, get the license plate. Then there's like a scene. It's like on top of like a parking garage. I mean, half of the locations in this is literally just like some guy going, guess what? This is going to look cool on camera.
Yeah.
Because it's like they're all sitting there, and then it's just like the downtown, like, framed behind them. But they're telling Cobra, like, yeah, we need you to, like, shake down everyone you know.
Yeah, well, like, we need to find out who the fuck this is.
So it's, like, scenes of Cobra shaking people down and this photo shoot with robots set to Angel of the City.
Mm-hmm.
And it is glorious.
It is incredible.
Because they time, like, all the cuts to the beats. And there's, like, Dutch angles, and it's just...
And you don't get any, like, murders in there, but I want to talk about a little bit, before we get too far into it, about the night slasher, like, murders. Because, I mean, they're just attacking people in their car.
Yeah.
They, like, attack, like, a waitress from a diner.
They follow her, yeah.
They, like, smash her, like, window... Well, no, sorry. They crash into her. And this is also when we get an idea that... Because it kind of reveals one of the villains pretty early.
Yeah.
It's a woman that works for the police, and that's how they got the license plate. They were able to run
for the model. License plate
for the model and know where she is, basically. Mm-hmm. Because you see her as they attack the waitress, and they murder the waitress, and then they also, like cave in some guy's, like, roof?
No, they kill...
A woman's roof.
Yeah, she's, like, leaving somewhere, and they just, like, run up to her car and just... start attacking it.
Yeah, starts, like, smashing it in and stuff. So it's very violent. It's very just random. And it just gives you an idea of, like, how ruthless and, like, evil they are. I mean, if you needed more of an idea.
You know what I love about this movie? You can take one glance at the dude who plays the Night Slasher, and you're just like, that's a villain.
Well, like, he like, just exudes, like, evil. Like,
I mean, if you've ever watched, like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, he was one of the main, like, bad guys on that in the early seasons, and he's one of those actors who, like...
He has that look, because he has a really, really strong jawline and a very deep, like...
Monster voice. But it's, like, not even trying. That's just how he talks.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
But he's just,
he's, like, one of those people that's, like, born to play a villain.
He's one of those people, like, if you saw him late at night, you wouldn't, like, cross the road.
Yeah.
You would just be like, I'm good.
Exactly. You're just like, you know what? I'm not going this way, actually. I'm going to turn around and go the other way. But, so we get, like, an idea of the slashers, because they show a few murder scenes. Then we get the montage. We introduce our character, and this kind of sets up the whole idea of, like, how she gets attacked. Because it's, like... all this is building up to her getting attacked, and this is where she witnesses the murder. Because it's like the sleazy cameraman that's like trying to hit
on her. Trying to hit on her, like, I can help your career and it's all like, this
come
shit.
Come on, I can.
He immediately gets owned.
Fucking, like, I mean, I'm okay with him dying.
You know they did that shit on purpose.
Yeah. Because he's just like some sleazy asshole. He gets absolutely murdered. She goes, like a cop, she forgets her bag and a cop comes down.
And he gets annihilated.
Well, he gets rammed.
Which is an insane fucking shot.
Well, because it also establishes that they've, like, armored their cars.
Yeah.
And so they fucking, like, ram into the fucking elevator and they ram this cop into the doors. Yeah. And she witnesses the whole thing. She's seen his
Some
face.
Poor schmuck with a Christmas wine bottle.
Gets well, I love how he's, too. Like, he's just, like, this, like, just a... an everyday businessman.
Yeah, he just sees this
that happens to be there,
and one of them smack kills him with, like, a giant hammer.
But and again, it's just all this is to establish how evil,
how ruthless they
don't care about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so she sees it. She sees him in the fucking he. She sees his full face, and now she's the target. Right?
Yeah. Because now she's at the hospital, the cops, like, talk to her, and she mentions that, like, well, I saw these weird people under an underpass, and they already know about the murder, so they're like, okay, probably them.
Right.
And there's more than one, because the cops think that it's, like, one guy. Cobra's like, no, I think we're talking about a big group.
This is, like, it slows down for, like, 2 seconds, because it's, like,
yeah.
It sets up shit that she's in the hospital. Cobra goes to investigate the picture,
mm-hmm.
and then his friend, who likes the sweets, goes home.
I love the little back and forth.
Oh, yeah, because it's like, it's his, like, detective friend, but all he does is eat sweets.
He loves sugar.
And Cobra just loves giving him shit about eating so poorly.
Well, there's, like, the scene, like, after, when they're on, like, the parking structure roof, and, you know, their, like, captain or whatever chews them out, and he's like, you know what I love to do? I love to punch a fucking hole in his face. And Cobra's like, you know what your problem is?
You're too violent.
You're too violent.
He's like, it's all that sugar.
Like, really, like, coming from you? He tells him, like, it's all that sugar. It's all that junk food.
All that junk food you're swallowing down.
You gotta eat some prunes, something natural.
I love the payoff even at the end. Like we said, this is a rambler, yeah. Where he's like...
There's one thing
where
I
he's,
really
like, getting
want.
Loaded into the fucking, like...
Because his leg's, like, ambulance. Fucked up.
And he's like, oh, man, you know what I would really love? And, like, he's like, Cobra's what? Like, anything. He's like, some gummy bears.
I think the thing that got a laugh out of me is later in the movie when they're, like, at, like, a gas station.
Yeah.
And it's just him walking out of the gas station and he has so much, like, candy in his arms that it's, like, falling out.
Well, because, I mean, like, it goes... it's only an hour and, like, 20 minutes, so obviously we're already, like, halfway through the movie mm-hmm. at the hospital scene. Because the next few set pieces are, like, a car chase and then a giant, like, showdown.
A massive shootout at the end.
At the end. So it's, like, there's not too many, like, big sequences left. Mm-hmm. There's only a few. The hospital scene is pretty good, though, because I love how it
it's like
shows.
A slasher movie.
Well, yeah, it's like him just like meticulously murdering his way into her room.
Yeah.
And then like tries to attack her. I do like what you said, where it kind of goes into like horror movie realm.
Yeah.
It almost becomes like a slasher for a minute because...
It's like interesting because the first half of this is almost like a slasher movie.
Yeah.
And then the second half is just a big action movie.
Well, it's like it's just throwing all these the fucking goons at Stallone and seeing how many he can murder
at the end. I mean, yeah,
that's literally like
90% of your body count is the last 20 minutes.
Yeah,
it's just everyone. This whole
it's a good payoff.
Army of cult members.
And yeah, he's just murdering his way. He tries to murder her. She like runs.
She pulls a fire like alarm
and gets away. So now they're like, okay, well, we gotta like make sure you're safe.
And Stallone thinks that there's an informant.
Well,
a mole.
Again, if you've seen any 80s or 90s like detective movies where they kind of like go against the law,
no one believes them.
You always get the fucking captain that yells at them and says like, you're out of line. You're making this up.
I love...
at least there's no, like, give me your badge and you're you're off the case.
That was Lobo. And then Lobo, he gets fired. He helps people so bad that he gets fired.
Yeah, because Leo Fong's the worst fucking detective on the planet.
I love when there's, like, this big scene with all the cops arguing, and because it's this movie's so, like, hyper-stylized, the camera's, like, swooping all around them the whole time.
Yeah.
As they're, like, in this, like... room of glass. Preposterous. I love it.
It's amazing. But, you know, if you want to see the best captain, go watch Last Action Hero.
If you...
That scene is so good.
He's got fucking literal steam coming out of his ears.
I mean, that's obviously like a cartoon.
Talking about...
It's like spoofing on this
kind of stuff. It's spoofing on this kind of stuff with the captain.
But it is really well done. I love that. Like, the police station scene is like one of my favorites in that movie.
When he yells and the fucking glass on his window just shatters.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, like, I love the build up to that scene because you see, like, the Terminator from T2. Oh, yeah. Like walking out, and then you see like a cartoon detective, and
he gets matched up with like a woman or something.
Yeah,
like, this is your new partner. It's a fucking cartoon rabbit.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah, if you haven't seen The Last Action Hero, please go watch it. It's stupid, but it's hilarious.
It's on point.
anyway, back to Cobra. Sorry, I got kind of sidetracked there. I do love the car chase that happens like almost immediately after this. It's such a good car chase, and I love movies that get that you have to put your heroes and your villains in specific cars so we know what the fuck is happening.
You know what I love? I love the 180 during this.
Yes.
Because I love that this car chase starts with them chasing Cobra. And by the end of it, it's Cobra chasing them.
Yeah. Well, because he drives like a 50s, like...
It's like a fucking juiced up, like, 50s, like, drag racing car.
Well, I mean, even more to the point that Stallone directed this is it's like his car.
Yeah.
He owned that
car. Yeah, he owns a car.
And they made composite, they made extras so that he could crash them over things.
Because this, oh boy, the damage in this scene.
It's like an escort, right? Because they're escorting this woman to the safe house.
She's in the car with Cobra.
And then you have his detective friend and the rat mm-hmm. in the other car. They get crashed into, and then the chase starts. I love the part on the fucking highway when he flips the car around, starts driving in reverse, and like blasts the fucking engine to the truck, and it just flips over and like bursts into fire. It's flames.
Fantastic!
It's so fucking good.
My favorite bit in this is, oh my god, it's probably the fucking. There's like a part in the end where they're going over like. It's funny because I've been where they film this. It's in Venice Beach, California.
Mm-hmm.
There's these canals. And they're like, if you drive, and you're supposed to drive really slow on them because it's like, they're like humps.
Right.
But in this scene, they're going full speed and it's just them like flying in the air.
Over every single one.
Every single one. And they keep doing like slow-mo. And there's one part where there's like a, it's like a sign that says, please slow down. And Stallone's car goes so high up that it like hits it and it like explodes.
Again, they just got what we want to see in an action movie.
There's also so many, like, I don't even know what you'd call it, but they use, like, these weird, like, camera lenses where it almost creates, like, a, I don't know if you call it, like, a fisheye effect or something.
Almost, yeah.
But they use that a lot, and it always looks so cool. Oh, it looks cool.
Incredible. Everything in this movie looks good.
Because every time, because there's a part when he has a fucking, like, NOS in his car. And of course, you gotta hit the NOS, and when he does that, they go like all fisheye.
Yeah.
As he drives away.
Well, and they go to like a shipping yard, and the guys get away, and they just absolutely fucking wreck Stallone's car.
Yeah, he flips it into a boat that's like standing on like something, and he flips it over. Oh my god.
I love how this is all happening after the woman just got out of the hospital, too.
It's immediate.
And they're, like, all banged up and shit.
It's immediate.
So they... I can't remember how they get there, but they go to the motel.
Because they end up... I think they have, like, a big meeting, and they all decide, like, we're gonna, like, take her out of the city.
Well, they gotta get, like... They're just going as far away as possible.
Yeah.
Because the trial is... There's, like, some vague trial that's going to happen, and she's going to, like, testify that this guy is... Because it kind of... Sorry. It kind of comes into play when he's... At the end, when the villain's like, you can't shoot me. Like, you're
murders against the law.
Murders against the law.
But, yeah, they go, like, out... And we get another, like, fucking montage. He must
have watched Judge Dredd because Stallone is the law.
How fitting. But we get another, like, montage of, like, all the fucking killers, like, getting ready, getting all their fucking guns ready as they're driving out of the city.
Well, yeah, and we also get, like, certain, well, I mean, it was more in the beginning, but we get another shot of it where he's just, like, sharpening his knife, getting ready for all
this. The fucking villain knife, yeah.
God, sorry.
But they go to like...
Nasal issues.
They end up going to a motel, and the whole time, you know, the like snitch... Well,
the snitch is acting all weird because she keeps going to payphones and playing with a comb, and you've seen her playing with the comb before, like in the beginning of the first murder, she was like stressing on a comb.
Yeah.
Like a comb brush.
Little stress thing.
Yeah, and so... You get an idea of, like, that Cobra's kind of on to her, but not really, because he keeps seeing, like, how weird she's being. And then, of course, you know, you get the romance scene with them kissing. And
this
then,
all takes like two, three minutes.
Yeah, I do like the scene of him setting up his laser pointer, though.
Well,
because remember, we had...
It's efficient.
In Friday the 13th, Part 6, we had a laser pointer. But that was for comedic effect. This is for
legit.
Absolute annihilation.
It's for annihilation.
Of the goons.
And for an incredible...
He actually gets to use his laser pointer.
It is. It's also for an incredible shot composition at the very end of the movie.
Yes.
But yeah, he sets it up, and even before this, I love the bit when they're in like this little like restaurant, and he's like disgusted by how much ketchup she's put on her fries.
This is what I'm saying. He has weird like health personality.
He's just like looks at her fries and he's like, "Do you need a life preserver?" She's like, "What? What do you mean? Your fries are drowning." And they like talk a little, and then she puts even more ketchup on there.
He's like disgusted.
And he just
by
like
it.
Looks at her like, "What the hell?
What the hell are you doing?"
But yeah, he like puts together his gun and he lays out like his grenades on the table, while we see like the army of fucking cult members on motorcycles, driving there.
Well, and of course, you know what's gonna happen.
Oh yeah.
It's just going to be an all-out fucking shootout.
And it's immediate, because, they, like, talk, they kiss, it's the morning, they're leaving, and immediately...
Well, and the rat is gone.
Yeah.
When you're like, where is she? And then she's talking to someone in a truck, and then everyone shows up.
Immediately.
And Stallone breaks out windows, he fucking, like, shoots all these guys. The stunt work in this fucking scene alone is so incredible.
There's so many people flying off of motorcycles.
Well, like motorcyclists crashing into other motorcycles and flipping, and they're, like, flying off. They're, like, being flown, like, feet in the air.
Yeah, especially when he, like, blows up the motorcycles. There's this shot in the movie that's, like, on screen for 1 second. Where one of the guys has like a scoped rifle, and it's just like a shot of like Stallone, and then the scoped rifle comes into frame and it like goes into the scope.
It's really cool. It's really well done, but they use it once.
It's on screen for 1 second. It's just them flexing.
I'm just like, that was really cool, but we never see that again.
That's them flexing on you.
So now they're on their way to the refinery, because every action movie has to have an end fight.
It's
an
80s, 90s action movie.
Or a mill, or some industrial
An industrial setting with
fire and sweat. Heavy fucking machinery everywhere. And hooks and stuff to kill people with.
And your actors sweating profusely.
Yeah, because it looks cool.
But yeah, there's this part where they're on their way there. And he's on the back of this truck, and he's just firing and all
these
guys.
It's like a fucking video game. It's like if your main character was like standing in the truck bed, and they're like, just shoot the enemies to make it out alive.
Shoot the enemies.
The truck has a health bar.
Has a health bar, yeah.
And you have to fucking survive this onslaught.
Until you get to the next waypoint.
As he just like fucking... And they do this thing where they cut to the barrel of his Uzi just bouncing up and down.
Oh, it's so fucking cool. There's also this part where like one guy jumps on the truck with him and they fight and he throws him forward and the guy gets run over and then you see the guy like a stuntman like rolling on the road and all the bikes have to like dodge him.
One crashes into him.
Yeah, it's insane.
Again, the stunt work is so good in this movie. And so yeah, he just like annihilates all of them. They crash the car. They have to like fight through like an orange field.
Yeah,
or it's a like, lemon field.
Yeah, and then he like blows one of them up, shoots a bunch of them. They get in the fucking foundry.
Yeah, so he gets in the foundry. I love the like the foreshadow, just like the quick foreshadowing, because the fucking knife guy is here, and you just see these giant hooks like flashing by
going
his fucking
past him
face.
Hmm.
And you're like,
There's fire everywhere.
I love it. It's like kind of a montage of Stallone absolutely murdering people in here.
Yeah, basically, like he rigs a grenade to shoot it, blow two guys up. He tricks one of them with his laser pointer.
Yeah, and then like murders him with his own knife.
There's a
and then he also like
lures, oh he lights one of them on.
Because he lures him into this like hallway where they do like a like. like flame shit. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not. I don't work in a foundry. So.
And he like cranks it up and like lights him on fire.
Yeah. But see, my favorite part is because you see he has a matchstick in his mouth for the whole movie.
Yeah.
There's very few scenes without the matchstick, and you wonder is that just to look cool?
It's like an aesthetic thing, right?
Or is that going to pay off? Because it could be aesthetic. That's fine. And, you know, he's walking on this, like, catwalk in these barrels. And he knocks one of the guys is about to, he hears him and he's about to shoot him. And Stallone knocks it over and it pours some sort of liquid all over him. And the guy's, like, screaming because it gets in his eyes and he's just screaming. And you just see, like, Stallone saying, "You have the right to remain silent." And he takes the fucking match and lights it on his pistol.
I love how they give, like, one of the coolest one-liners to, like, some throwaway
goon
with a sniper rifle. Like, they're just like, yeah, whatever, just, like, use that, who cares.
We have to finally pay off this thing that we've been seeing since the beginning of the movie.
I mean, listen, they did a great job with it. I'm just saying it's kind of funny that they use it there.
It's incredible. But that is the last person he kills before...
Oh, and I'm sorry. He did use the one-liner, "You're the disease, I'm the cure," to the,
right guy, at the, beginning,
the
yeah.
guy in the grocery store.
Which is on the poster.
Yep. Now we get... I mean, we also get a good one-liner with the Night Slasher.
No, this is... Oh, this scene is so cool. So it's like, it's just them... It's them two and the, like, snitch woman. But the Night Slasher, he has, like, a shotgun. He has his knife, and he's just, like, he's doing this speech about, like, how, like...
Where he's, like, basically saying, like, "You can't do anything, pig. You're..."
Like, this is the new world. Like, "You can't stop us. Like, we kill the weak. So the strong live on. And, you know, like, we are the future."
But there's this part where...
He, like, you know, Stallone's like, "No, you're history." And he points his, like, laser gun at him. And he, like, holds the knife.
And it reflects back on Stallone's eye.
And...
Well, so we also get, like, the snitch woman attacks Stallone. And he, before the guy can fire his shotgun, he, like, shields himself with her and she dies.
But that's also where he tells him, like, you know, "You have to take me in."
Yeah, like, "You have to take me to court. Court is civilized."
Like, you know, pig. They'll say I'm insane. I'll be out.
I wrote it down.
"The court is civilized."
Because Night Slasher says, "The court is civilized, isn't it, pig?"
And when he said, I love, like, because it's like this close-up of his face with fire behind it.
Yeah.
And when he says pig, it's like...
He just spits, like, this
so
fucking, like...
extra.
Like, waterfall.
I fucking love it. And the whole time, both actors are like... There's sweat just dripping down.
It's not even like a little sweat. It's like profusely fucking sweating.
It's like
sweating.
They told whoever runs this place, crank the fucking temperature.
Just crank the heat as much as humanly fucking possible. Make these guys sweat
like
as
they
much
have
as
to
they
sweat
possibly can.
Buckets.
And so, yeah, to that, he's... This is what Cobra says.
Yes.
With the fucking laser pointer, like, in
it
his
looks
eye.
So cool.
He says... So, yeah, Night Slasher says, "Court is civilized, isn't it, pig?" And Cobra says, "But I'm not. This is where the law stops and I start, sucker. And then he just fucking fires into him. And then, well, no, he doesn't fire into him because the guy...
The woman attacks him.
Yeah. And so they start tussling and, like, the guy almost, like, jabs these fucking spines into
his
eyes.
He shoots at him, but he shoots the woman instead.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have, like, a tussle, and because his knife has, like, these fucking,
like
spikes.
Studs. Yeah.
Where your knuckles would be.
Yeah.
And he's like trying to stab him. He's about to, like, jam that into his head. You get the shot of, like, the studs, like, a fucking centimeter away from his eyes.
Well, and then he gets the upper hand, and they start, like, fighting again, and then Stallone...
You see the fucking hook coming.
Well, and so does Cobra, yeah. Cobretti, and he fucking lifts this guy on this hook.
And impales him on it.
And the guy's, like, struggling to get off while he's, like, hanging on this hook.
And you see where it's going.
It's like a fucking horror movie.
Well, it also is, like, it's like a fucking... It's like this fucking cavern of fire. Like,
yeah, it's like this hallway of flames. Like,
I don't even know what
this guy's getting dragged into.
And you just see it coming. You know it's coming. And then, of course, he gets lit on fire. And then that's the end of him. Yep. And you have your classic fucking ending.
With the gummy bear guy and...
The gummy bear and where the captain does the typical thing where he's like, hey, no hard feelings. And then Cobra punches him and is like, yeah, no hard feelings.
I was like the police chief. He's like, we're going to do anything we can for you. Anything you need. And he's like, well, I'd like to get my car replaced. And
the guy's like,
well, that's a little out of our budget.
That's out of our budget. He's like, yeah, I figured. And then he's like, I give you a ride. He's like, no, I got a ride.
And they just steal one of the motorcycles.
Steal one of the motorcycles while...
And drive off into the fucking sunset.
Credits roll in 80s rock plays.
Yeah, that's all you need.
That's what you need.
That's all you fucking need, okay? This is... it. In action movie, like, just... It's damn near perfect.
This is... It's like...
I fucking love this movie.
It's the, like, you know, rogue, I don't give a shit cop... movie distilled.
Now, don't get me wrong, I love Dirty Harry.
Yeah,
but I love me some just like
insanity
in insane like scenes, because Dirty Harry's a little bit more methodical.
Well, Dirty Harry's more like a, it's more like a real movie.
Yeah,
this is insanity.
Yeah, this yeah you're right. Well, because, yeah, it's like there's a time and a place for Dirty Harry's, but there's also a time and a place for Cobra.
For some insanity like
this. If you just need an insane 80s action movie, you cannot go wrong with this
movie. Where you get no, like, every scene has some preposterous insanity.
Well, there's, like, virtually no fucking setup. It just fucking goes. It just fucking is like... Fuck you. We don't need a story. Let's go.
It literally just opens with a bunch of dudes in a fucking weird 80s music video warehouse clanking hammers.
I know.
And then some guy shows up at a grocery store and just shoots people.
Yeah. Well, and there's no rhyme or reason for, like, virtually anything.
It's just, they're psychos.
It's just,
like,
it's just a fucking vibe. It's just an 80s movie action vibe.
There are psychos in the world. And it's like some weird fucking eugenicist cult, and there are psychos, and we have a dude who looks awesome with aviators, and he is going to kill them.
Not every movie has to be thought-provoking. We just have to have fun sometimes.
Sometimes I want to sit and just vibe.
I just want to have fun with an action movie, and that's exactly what you get with this one. Is it a perfect movie? Absolutely not. Is it highly, highly entertaining? Absolutely. It is so well done for what it is.
Oh, that, God.
It's just like, it's just candy. It's just, it's like a roller coaster ride. And I don't care. I'm going to use that analogy. Is, it's like an amusement park ride. You're having fun the entire time, and then you get off, and you can just go about your day.
Yeah.
It's great.
You can go about your day. I fucking love this shit. You can go on it again. It's like, it requires such little... commitment.
An hour and 20 minutes of your day that's gonna just go by like a breeze,
that you're not gonna sit there and be like confused or anything. It's just
simple. Action, that's all you need. Sometimes
bad guys, good guy, cool.
If that's your thing and you haven't watched Cobra, please go watch Cobra. It's so good.
Like, if you like Drive, if you like anime, if you
like 80s action movies,
if you like montages, if you just want to see some absolute well-shot, stylized, preposterous insanity.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to see a movie that's edited and filmed like a music video, you need to see this thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because this...
Well, I don't know, just like, it all just works. It's just all insanity, and it all just works to make it just... It's so damn entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to sit here and say it's like a masterpiece movie, but it's so damn entertaining.
I would argue this is a masterpiece of schlock.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Like, just like schlocky action.
This fun. Is a masterpiece of absolute deranged schlock.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I think that's a good assessment, because that's exactly what it is. And it doesn't try to be anything else.
Yeah, there's no... Because there are those movies... that, you know, they are that they're schlock, but they think they're not.
Well, right, this movie does not try hard at all.
It doesn't try to be anything more than what it is.
Yeah, exactly. And that's all you need.
Because the effort towards the schlock is high caliber.
Well, they went all out with it. Because yeah, that last action sequence, every action sequence is so good. And again, I want to see the direct. I want to see the X-rated version.
I want to see
how much more insane they went with, like, the murder scenes.
I want to see what it was that that offended the ratings board so much.
That's what I want to see. I'm really curious. I know a lot of people are, and I know this is not, like, an uncommon take.
No, this is very...
I just want to see that cut. I want to see
that version. Because this is one of those movies that every year that goes on seems to collect more and more and more fans.
And you know what? I think it deserves it. It's a good action movie. It's well made. It just works. Everything just works.
Especially because there's so much, like there's been so much media in the past, like 10, 15 years, that's kind of like 80s nostalgia. I think because of that, a lot of people are seeking out things like this where it's not nostalgia. It's just what it is.
I mean, it came out in 86, so it is an 80s action movie. It is
like what that nostalgia tries to capture is here.
Exactly.
And it's so straight-faced and so insane that I think even in 10 years, this movie will be even more, like, it'll have even more of a following.
Yeah, and I hope it does. It deserves it. I think it deserves, like, praise. I think it...
Especially because, I mean, I think a lot of people agree with me that there's a lot of just kind of meh action movies. Things like this will always...
You gotta hold on to these kind of movies because... When you have all these meh action movies, you can go back to stuff like Cobra and just have a really fun time for an hour and 27 minutes and just, you know, just have everything you want in an action movie.
Like that, like when a studio gave millions of dollars and a big budget to something this insane.
To a vanity project that actually worked.
To a vanity project that 100% works.
Yeah. That just works on every level.
That you watch this, like, I think it was in our review of Commando, where we said that, like, you watch movies like that and you just feel, like, amped.
Well, yeah, you just feel juiced. You want to go, like, punch something or...
Like, you want
to
go...
Not in, like, a violent way, but you want to, you know, fucking get rowdy.
Yeah.
You know, you just want to fucking do something.
Like, this is on that level of, like, you watch this and you just feel so...
You want to go, like, get in a fast car. You want to fucking go, like...
Do something awesome.
You know, do something really fucking cool. Because you just watched... And I'll admit, like, Cobra's a really cool character. Cobra's a really... It's so well done. And they, like, the mystique of the character is just so cool.
There's so many this movie weird just touches.
Oozes cool. It's a really, really cool movie.
We didn't even mention this, but, like... Well, we mentioned this during the movie, but not during the review. But he has, like, the aviators for so many scenes of the movie. And we've seen so many movies where characters have, like, aviators or there's, like, reflections everywhere. And you see, like, the camera crew.
Yep.
There's no point in this movie where you see the camera crew during the massive reflection on the aviators.
And it's your main actor is wearing two big mirrors on his face.
And it looks amazing.
And it's credible. I don't know. Just go watch the movie. Obviously, it's 10 out of 10.
It doesn't even... I don't even need to say it.
Like, just go enjoy this lizard brain fucking ego trip fucking action movie.
If you have that little part of you, that little basic caveman part of you, This is going to tickle that part.
I mean, it certainly, I mean, it's on rotation almost every year for me. I fucking love watching this
movie. Hell, it's Christmas adjacent, so.
Yeah, I watch this almost every year. I think it's a great action movie. I think it's, but I love 80s action movies.
Yeah.
So I'm a huge fan of this kind of shit. And this is exactly what I want from an 80s action movie.
It's great as a, it's great as a time capsule, but it's also just great as just like, you want to see a great action movie, great with great stunts, chases, one-liners, you know, awesome villains, an awesome hero.
Cinematography's good, choreography's good, everything.
Gorgeous.
Everything just works. It's all just a nice, neat little action package that you can enjoy, that anyone can enjoy, really.
Yeah.
Like, I think it just is so cool that anyone will get enjoyment out of this, if you even like action movies at all.
Yeah, there's nothing, that's the thing, is, like, I don't even need to say, like, oh, you'll enjoy this only if you're, like, this. No, I think if you like action movies in general, you can enjoy this.
You'll like this, yeah. But yeah, go watch Cobra. I guess that just turned into us gushing about it, because it's such a good...
That's what it is, good, what you gotta do.
...well-made action movie. So now... As customary, if you are new here,
time.
If you are new here, we do at the end of every review year.
Every
so we're,
cinematic
we're
year.
In, we're in 1986 now. We're at the end of 1986. We do three categories. And it's our little award show to the year.
The Oscars.
Yeah, our little shitty Oscars our little love letter. To 86.
So every year we do this. We do a best of the best, a best of the worst, and a worst of the worst.
Yes.
Though we go in the opposite order.
Yes. So we start with worst of the worst, like the shittiest movies that we could not stand, that we will never watch again, can never watch again, and no one should watch them. Best of the worst is bad movies.
Most entertaining garbage.
Highly entertaining. And that we would probably watch again just to fucking clown on them, because they're so stupid but so entertaining. And then, of course, Best of the Best is, as you guessed, like an actually legitimately good movie that we watch all the time.
Yes.
Kind of thing. So let's do it. Worst of the worst. I am still having a hard time with this one.
Okay. Well, I can do mine because I know mine.
Okay, you go first.
Okay. Well, see, mine... I didn't have to think about this, because this just...
I don't know, there was three movies that were, like, really bad for me.
See, every other bad movie had some semblance of effort involved.
Yes. Okay.
My choice had zero effort, unless you count slow-mo as effort. Twin Dragon Encounter.
Okay, that's...
Because...
That's fair.
You know, here's what's funny, right? What a perfect segue, actually.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about vanity projects. Cobra is a vanity project, okay?
Yes.
But it is a vanity project that I adore.
Loblo is a vanity
project. Loblo is also a vanity project. And then Twin Dragon Encounter is also a vanity project.
That's fair.
Squared. Because there are twins now.
That's true.
So it's like, what do you do if you have a vanity project but you square that? Shouldn't it be... twice as good?
No.
Apparently, in that movie's case, it's twice as bad. Because it's just two schlubby Canadian twins hanging out in the woods and having awkward fight scenes and riding on ATVs where they sit on each other's asses, on each other's dicks.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, and the music's done by a guy named Billy Butt.
Oh, I forgot about Billy Butt. That's right. Arranged and composed by Billy Butt. Okay, listen, you're right. I do want to say I agree with you. I want to give an honorable mention to my other two shit movies. And that is Journey to the Lost Planet.
Is that what it was called?
Or whatever the fuck. That boring ass sci-fi movie. Battle for the Lost Planet. Because
it had too much effort. What? Had miniatures.
But it was so fucking stupid.
It was stupid, but it had
boring.
Miniatures. And it had the scene where the guy is in space and he has a list that he draws on the wall of every famous actress that he jerks off
to. It's so boring.
That's more effort than...
And then I also want to give a shout out, well, not shout out, but an honorable mention to
dishonorable
mention to Sorority House Massacre.
It was bad
because, holy fuck. But like you said, more effort, but
well, Sorority House Massacre, more so than the other two, looked like a real movie.
That's fair.
It was shit.
That's why I couldn't decide because it's like all three of those movies.
Yeah,
absolute dog shit.
Mm-hmm.
They all terrible. But I think you're right because I think Twin Dragon Encounters takes the cake because
there was just nothing.
It's just two fucking guys in the woods
with fight scenes that they filmed at normal speeds and then slowed down.
Well, and the villains are forgettable as hell. Like,
yeah, the villain is just a guy with a cigar that just like growls at the camera. And then at the end, they get away, remember?
Yeah.
It's like a cliffhanger ending.
Yeah.
It's
bullshit.
And I still just remember the part where they're in the freaking diner.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
And then they're ordering food. Like war flashbacks. And the freaking idiot, the dipshits.
The milk and cookies.
Hey, give the little boy his milk and cookies.
You look like a truck driver.
And then they're like,
Big Mac hey, truck. Guys,
cool it. Hey, give the little boy his milk and cookies so he grow nice and strong.
Yeah, yeah,
his
milk and cookies. Yeah, yeah.
And the guy's like, guy looks like a Mack truck. Shut your mouth.
I'm a
truck The guy's I'm like, hey, you, driver. I drive.
If I drive a Mack truck.
Maybe I'll drive you. Like, what do you say to that? You know what's sad is that's the most entertaining part of the movie.
Maybe I'll drive you, which is probably the most homoerotic insult you can throw at someone. Maybe I'll drive you. Okay. Just let that sit in for a second.
Let that sit in.
Let that drive in for a second.
Let that settle inside you.
Now let's go to... So, Twin Dragon Encounter wins the award.
Best of the best? Best of the worst, sorry.
Best. Let's go to best of the worst. Again... Multiple contenders.
There's a lot of contenders.
There's a lot of contenders.
There's some fun
shit. I don't
shit.
Know if there was some fun, stupid shit.
There's some fun garbage there.
Now, I had two contenders. Should I go first?
Go ahead.
So my two contenders, and you might disagree. So I was thinking like Truth or Dare Critical Madness, but it didn't make my top two. Low Blow is another one because it's like so fucking stupid and so entertaining.
But I help people.
But my main two that I kept going back to that I could remember a bunch of fucking shit from. I had three too.
Because
Ninja Terminator is another one where I was just like. But I felt like the clip show thing was kind of annoying. Like the
fact that it's not really a movie.
Yeah, yeah. That's that. It annoyed me more than entertained me. So. My two were Nightmare Weekend, Nightmare Weekend, and Rawhead Rex. Now, I'll explain why.
Interesting.
I know.
Okay.
Rawhead Rex because, like, holy shit, like, the piss scene and the fucking Donkey Kong effects and the fucking, like, just stupid... bullshit that the goes
Donkey
on in
Kong
the
effects.
Well, because like he looks like Donkey Kong.
I know, yeah, he does.
Jesus. But I kind of like some of the effects in it, and it was like really stupid but entertaining in a really dumb way. Because they're like going for this like hypersexual like serial killer vibe,
yeah, but kind of failing.
But yeah, really failing at it. But I did ultimately go just because. I feel like I'm going to say deep down good all the fucking time now. I am going to go with Nightmare Weekend.
Unfortunately, Will, I 100% agree with you.
Because it's so ridiculous with the robot and the
See,
fucking...
just all I have to say is just listen to our episode of Nightmare Weekend. Because there is a point in the episode when I am explaining the movie to you and you snapped... And you just started cackling endlessly.
Yeah.
And then while you snapped, I also then snapped.
Because it's fucking hilarious.
Because when you try explaining that movie, like, verbally...
You sound like a madman.
Step by step, You literally sound like you need to be in an insane asylum. Because
with the orbs that go into, like,
toothpaste.
The fucking robot that controls cars.
Jessica
that has the Alpha 5 fucking voice.
The part where the guy's fucking the woman on the arcade machine.
Yeah. Like, in front of everyone.
And then everyone's looking at them at the bar where the guy has
the bar. The bar guy's
the
like,
drink pour. With the sandwich. Where the bread wrapped around the flask.
Bro.
He's like, let me have my sandwich.
But again, deep down good. I will never not say that. Feeling real deep down
you
good.
You make me feel deep down good.
As that orb comes out of the toothpaste.
Or the stupid, like...
Oh, my God.
The goon on the phone.
Yeah.
Who's, like, buying the something?
I don't fucking know. I still don't really understand what the fuck the science behind all that was.
Dude, don't. I'm telling like, you. I'm telling you. Go back and listen to our episode, and you can hear our brains snapping. Trying to explain.
It's so confusing.
Trying to explain it. Because it's just impossible. It's like a child making things up as they go.
It's like they did the fucking like Doberman thing where it made it more docile, but then killed it.
Yeah. And then there's a satellite dish. And then there's a robot. And then the robot controls a car. And then the robot can mess with time and space.
But then there's two robots.
But then there's two robots.
And then one...
And then there's an orb. And then it turns into an ice cube. And then the woman drinks the ice cube and dies. And then someone drowns in a pool. And then there's in the toothpaste. What?
It's so stupid.
Then there's a guy on a motorcycle who tries to rape her and he dies. What?
But not before turning into like a bog monster for a minute. do you remember that?
Yeah.
I don't
like, why?
Nightmare Weekend is a trip. Just... You need to go watch it for yourself if you haven't seen it.
You have to go watch it.
It is fucking insane.
And if you really don't want to watch it, just listen to our episode because it's an all-timer.
Now, the hardest one.
This is tricky.
Best of the best because we had some of my favorite, like, in rotation movies.
Yeah, there's here. That's the tricky part is we are at that point where there are movies here that I just watch.
Because, I mean, honestly, you got, like, Avenging Force, which is fucking awesome. You got From Beyond. You got Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. You have Friday the 13th Part 6. And then you have this movie, Cobra. And it's like, how do you choose between those? Like, Avenging Force, obviously, is, like, it's getting brushed off. I mean, it's a good movie.
It's a great movie.
I love it. It's great. I love the whole, like... most dangerous game angle and
yeah, it's timely.
The guy fucking murdering all the fucking racist assholes.
It's intensely satisfying.
Especially when he murders the white supremacist guy with like an African statue.
Yeah, by running him into it. Yeah.
It's great. So do you want to take this one since I took the last one? What did you choose? Because I had a really hard time. I know what it is.
It's tricky.
I will explain.
It's very tricky. But
now, just because we choose one of these movies does not mean we don't love the other.
That's the thing. These are all fantastic movies. I think everyone should watch them. If you are a fan of action or horror, both, whatever, movies in general, you should watch the movies we just named off.
I think they're all pretty iconic, too.
Yeah.
I think pretty much a lot of like horror and action fans know these movies.
They know these movies.
So if you haven't seen them, they do deserve a check out.
If you haven't watched them, do so.
Yes.
But
what'd you go with?
I think just because it is such a, it feels like such a tribute to everything I love, I am gonna have to go with Friday the 13th Part 6.
Fuck.
Was that yours?
God damn it, we are so too similar.
Yeah.
God, there's no discourse on this fucking podcast.
It's just a love letter.
Well, I was thinking about it. It's a love letter to slashers. It's my... I'll say it right here and now. It's my favorite Friday the 13th movie.
That's entirely...
I know it's...
entirely understandable.
I know some people would disagree with that, which is fine.
There's also a lot of people who will agree.
But it's such a well-made slasher movie, and it just envelops everything that I love about slashers in a movie.
Yeah, it's got the humor, but I love that there's genuinely creepy moments in it. It's just that like thing of like, just because you're making a comedic horror movie, it doesn't mean that there shouldn't be spooky stuff.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of genuinely creepy moments in that. There's so many, like, it's such a cozy fall vibe too.
Yeah.
There's so many just beautiful shots of like the woods and night times, and
well, the location is gorgeous.
Like I mean, fog on the lake.
It's
just like that movie, like when we watched it, as soon as you put the movie on and there's like all those shots of the woods, it's like a hug. Just
I know, and it also gives that feeling of like when you were in like summer camp, or if you ever did summer camp, or like just hanging out in the woods. But like it really envelops that feeling. For me, the reason it's cozy and the reason it like kind of hits me so hard is it gives that vibe of like telling ghost stories at the fire, you know?
Yeah.
Where you're just hanging out with some friends, you're telling a story about a slasher in the woods and trying mm-hmm. to scare your friends and trying to like, you know, envelop this like spooky vibe mm-hmm. to it, right? And it just, everything works so well in that movie. Like you said, there's genuinely unique kills that are really mm-hmm. awesome to see on camera. I know that sounds weird, but that's what you're looking for in a slasher movie.
It's a slasher.
There's good characters that you care about.
Yeah, the characters are all fun.
They're fun. They're funny. They're, like, endearing. I mean,
they're different.
The kids are, like, not annoying, and they even have, like, that existential crisis where they think they're not going to get out of there. And it's played so comedically, and it just works. And there's, like, that genuinely scary scene that I always jump at when she gets up and Jason's right at the window.
And they have that, like, tracking shot of her walking through the cabin, and he's just, like, following along.
It's creepy. Well, and also, like, that scene where you see the aftermath of, like, him killing that counselor in the cabin. It's so violent, and you don't see any of the kill.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly violent, because there's blood fucking everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the fucking... I always laugh, because it's, like, my favorite kill in the movie. The fucking... the sheriff getting folded in half.
Oh, yeah. It comes like, it's so like...
folded backwards. Because it comes out of nowhere.
Well, because like, it's just great because the sheriff beats the shit out of Jason with everything he can get his hands on. And it's still not enough.
And you get those like, you know, you get those annoying characters too with like the CEOs that are doing the paintballing
exercise. Oh, it's great. There's the guy moaning about women playing his game.
There's so much to love about mm-hmm. that movie if you love slasher movies or if you love horror movies in general.
Because, yeah, it's like a love letter, not just to slashers, but the whole genre.
Well, I think I think the lighter tone, you don't have to, like, be as serious about it. You just have to, like, enjoy the movie. You just have to have a fun time. And that's what I love about it. It's just so easy to put on and watch whenever.
Yeah, it's definitely, you mentioned rotations.
Oh, I watch it every year.
Every October.
I watch it every year.
Especially, like, if you just want, like, you know, you still want your R-rated gore, you want, like, you still want spooky stuff, but you kind of want something that's a little more cozy. It's a classic.
Yeah.
It is a classic. The fact that it's the sixth film in a franchise, and it's that good,
Now, I do want to give an honorable mention, because I think they deserve it, From Beyond.
Amazing movie.
Absolutely incredible. The effects alone are just iconic.
The effects, the whole look of it.
The whole vibe, the whole pink, like, interdimensional space beings and shit.
Like, yeah, the sets, I mean, the acting, it's, oh man, how horny it is.
I just love, it's a great movie. Again, it's in rotation for me too, because I love like horny fucking
Lovecraftian shit. Body horror shit. Yeah.
I also want to give an honorable mention to Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
again.
Because
roller coaster.
I fucking love that movie. It is incredible. Again, with the lighter tone where it's like, but in a different way because it's a psychotic family.
But it's, yeah, it's lighter tone, but it's still like
creepy and it's still well done. The sets, oh my God, the sets.
The movie is just deranged.
Yeah, and I love that about it. I would say, like, that's the only reason I gave Friday the 13th a little bit more credit is because it's a little more on the rails.
Yeah.
And Texas Chainsaw Massacre just feels like a fever dream.
It is a fever dream.
So
kind of like the first movie.
And then also honorable mention, obviously, to Cobra.
Yeah.
Because Cobra is, like, one of my favorite 80s action movies ever. So it's so good. But I'm just a sucker for Jason. I'm a simp for Jason. I love Jason and I will never stop loving him. He's an iconic horror, like, icon for a reason. Iconic.
There's a reason icon, that there's that. Yeah. There's a reason that there's over 10 Friday the 13th movies.
Well, and there's a reason it's still popular to this day.
Yeah.
Like, people still know who you're talking about.
There's a reason that they just released a massive, like, 4K box set of these movies.
Yeah.
That millions of people bought.
I am just glad.
Always be popular.
I am just glad I didn't have to pit Friday the 13th, Chapter 6, with Nightmare on Elm Street, Chapter 3.
You're lucky.
I'm glad that they are because 1 year apart.
You know what comes in 87,
I'm
baby.
I'm glad they're 1 year apart because that would be really hard for me because those are like two of my favorite slasher movies of all time.
Well, you're going to have a good time, Will.
I fucking love Dream Warriors. It is fucking incredible.
You're going to have a great time in 87.
And talk about lighter tone.
That too.
Yep. So, anyway, that was 86. Time to go back into the shit because we've had a good time.
First, because we did change it up a little, our next one is a request.
Yeah, oh, sorry. My bad. Yes. So we are doing a request because we wanted to end 86. So now we're going into a request, which could be shit, could be good.
It'll be interesting. But then after that, we are...
And then we're going right into 87.
We are starting new year.
Yep. And we're going to, as you know, if you've been listening to this podcast, can you believe we're 6 years in now?
No.
Fuck. if you've been listening, you know the start of the year is pretty abysmal.
We start with the most...
I don't know, though. Sometimes those that shit like comes out of left field in like the later half of the year, too.
It might happen.
It could happen.
We might start off with some really entertaining.
If we start out... Well, because, I mean, like, look at this year. We started with Revolt, which we liked...
Which was bad, but we did like it quite a bit.
And then went into, like, Twin Dragon Encounters. So, anything could happen.
It's always a surprise. Well.
Yeah, exactly. but I think that's, I mean...
I think that's it.
That's pretty much it for...
Yeah.
For 86, we're going to close the chapter on that, unless we get requests for 86 movies.
But. Obviously. Which, if you have any requests, please send them our way.
But... For they mostly come out at night. This has been Will.
This has been Alex.
We will talk to you all later.
Bye.
Bye.
Now I have the right to remain silent. For now.
I'm going to light you on fire.
Just for a week.